You're watching Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. This is part of our Budget 2023 special. Joining us in the studio is Aizat Rahim, the Managing Director of Droppy. Aizat, thanks for joining us for today and making the hike all the way to Bukit Jalil. There are a lot of things that we need to unpack when it comes to Budget 2023. But before we get into all that, let's talk about some of the developments that is currently happening with Droppy itself. We understand that you guys have just fundraised. We've also understood that the fact that you guys are, have passed the Endeavour's local selection panel. Mm. So a lot of things are happening with Droppy. Let's go with that first.
Okay, thanks so much for having me, Ibrahim. So I think just to highlight a little bit about what Droppy is all about. So Droppy is a B2B marketplace, an online software for businesses in Malaysia. We started back then during 2017. We've ever since then currently already expanded to multiple countries outside within Southeast Asia itself. As you mentioned earlier, we've already fundraised about $7 million about a few months back. So far, it's been pretty good. We're currently servicing about close to 100 over 1,000 retailers, micro SME, which actually I will be talking a lot about micro SME later on as well. Mm-hmm. And essentially what we do is that we help all the local mom-and-pop stores to digitize their business operation, whether they are ordering, whether mm-hmm. they are credit financing, or even their inventory management. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, we were also quite fortunate. We just got selected into Endeavour Malaysia, mm-hmm. not the international just yet. Hopefully, we can get there soon. It's been pretty amazing journey on that note, because we get to meet with a lot of other founders and a lot of the business owners as well, and we get to learn and exchange ideas between one another. Yeah.
Let's talk about B2B commerce right now. Mm. What is the landscape looking like, particularly in a post-pandemic environment?
So I think during rewind back a little bit. During pandemic, I think it was pretty hectic. Nobody knew what was going to happen. At that point in time, so a lot of the businesses that we work with, a lot of our customers are like the ma pub store, the kedai-kedai runcit, the local resellers and local traders within Southeast Asia, right? They generally have to be physical store in order for them to sell to the consumer, to their customers, right? So that was a pretty crazy moment, because nobody knew what to expect. Nobody are allowed to actually go out and sell to any of their customers. So what they did was that most of them actually hold their store and try to reserve cash as much as possible, because that at that point in time when they wanted to get form of revenue, there's no other channel. So I think pandemic sort of forces a lot of these businesses to digitize their business online, and fortunately for us, we were at the right space at the right time, and we've been helping a lot of the business ever since. Post-pandemic, we get to see that some of the businesses are already... Back then, digitalization is like a bonus thing to have, right? But nowadays, it's a compulsory thing, it's a mandatory. And most of the business owner, whenever they want to start new business as well, first thing they do is start to digitize as much as they can. So I think it's been pretty good, amazing journey. Outlook-wise, businesses are starting to pick up again. I think when we talk about convenience store or the local traders, they are doing quite well. Even the F&B space, at that point of time, F&B owners were suffering the most. But not anymore. I think everyone is like really dying to just go out and spend more. So it helps that.
But because of that, do you feel that the intensity of the B2B commerce is going to subside over time because of the fact that people are normalizing back to pre-pandemic levels?
No. On the contrary, I think we get to see from our customers as well. The B2B is the one that's actually generating most of their revenue. And now the fact that businesses are all digitalized, they are literally can just Google any of the business's name. And they, instead of just being only be able to sell within their territory, now they can just sell anywhere in Malaysia itself. And we get to see that a lot of the growth from there, a lot of big brands as well, they were working with, are starting to digitize their business as well. In fact, most recently, we work with Maidin, and Maidin also has started digitizing their entire operations all the way from the B2C and also the B2B portion of it.
All right. It's interesting that you brought up Maidin, because some of the partners that you're working with is actually quite intense and also quite interesting to be talked about. So talk about some of the partners that you've struck and perhaps some of the items and stories that you want to share with them when it comes to B2B growth and digitization of their businesses.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I'll go to the small local bakery store. So we work with one entity called Sugar & I. They are a local small bakery store back in Subang. I think when they first started just a few years back, they were quite one of the unfortunate ones who actually opened their business just a few months before the pandemic. At that point of time, they already invested like 50,000-60,000 ringgit for all their machinery to do their baking and stuff. And turns out, when pandemic happened, everyone's just afraid, and he already invested and spent so much money on that. So when he was looking around for a digital solution, he came about on Dropi. So I think what we did with them is that when we tried the cake, it's actually amazing. I think you guys can also go to go find it. It's really, really good. What they came to us is that they were afraid that no customer actually want to buy their goods anymore. And because of the fact that we are working with a lot of hotels, restaurants and cafes, what we did was that we told them to repackage a lot of their businesses. Instead of just selling one unit to consumer like how he intended to do, sell it in bulk. So when people go to any cafes, people go to any hotel, they get to see their products, their bakery and stuff. So that's what he did. And I think, alhamdulillah, so far up to today, their business is really growing. I think they've expanded to about 3 retail, if I'm not mistaken. And they use Dropi not only to sell more to all these cafes, but also to manage their inventory, whereby they can start finding a lot more distributors to buy their inventories, ingredients, basically, and cut costs on that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, plenty to discuss still. We haven't discussed budget 2023 yet. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with Azad Rahim of Dropi. Thanks for staying on with us. Let's talk budget 2023. In the studio is Izzat Rahim, the managing director of Dropi. Izzat, there's a lot that needs to be unpacked when it comes to wish list in the SME sector and micro SME sector. Yep. Top of the line, what would be some of the ideas that you want to see in budget 2023 to help boost the micro SMEs?
Okay. I think the first thing I would really like to see is the promotion-wise, the marketing advertising for this micro SME. I know it's a little bit weird compared to a lot of the typical budget, but at least on our space, we work with a lot of brand owners. When I say brand owners, these are the smaller traders who actually produce, it could be mineral water, it could be goods, it could be pretty much anything. And a lot of times when they've really invested a lot to develop their products, we realize that Malaysian in general, we're very humble. We are not like the international or foreign guys where the moment we develop something, we will shout out as much as we can and to sell the goods. And I think back in 2022, government actually wanted to push out a lot more of this tourism to promote this local traders' product. But I don't think it was there just yet, simply because the travel and stuff is just starting to pick up. But now that we are going through the post-pandemic, I really would like to see the government actually place a lot more opportunity, for a lot more promotional and exhibition for these business owner, especially the smaller ones, simply because most of the time the goods and the products that they build is really good. It's just that they don't really have the opportunity to go and sell or to go to any of these trade exhibition or to gain more exposure, you know. And I think it's a shame because when we work with all these businesses, when they started to distribute their goods in any of those retail ma and pop store, actually products sell very well. The people love local food, right? And it's just unfortunate. I think a few years back, there was a funny story back when one of the Malaysian chef went to Hell's Kitchen, I think, and people were questioning, what is this rendang? It's so good, but they've never heard of it before. And things like that, it's a shame that government is not promoting a lot more, and I really hope that they are putting a lot more exposure for all these smaller markets so they can also start selling, not just within Malaysia itself, but also abroad. We are in the age of digital, which means they can sell to anyone in the world.
So specifically speaking, what are you looking at? Some tax breaks in for businesses to gain if they do marketing, especially for local products? Is that what you're looking at?
So I'm looking at two things. The first one is the grant to expand their products. So when I mean grant, that is more of maybe perhaps some form of like a discount or incentive for them to start exhibiting in international exhibitions.
Okay.
Second one, obviously, tax break will actually be very helpful, provided that it can show that they are already starting to expand. And if they can actually get the tax break, at least in selling to foreign, which means can also boost the Malaysian economy, the currency, I would say. So it's almost like a win-win for both the local SME and also Malaysia as a whole.
Okay. Yeah. On top of this, where do you feel the weak points are in terms of trying to get something out of the budget for micro SMEs, other than, say, the marketing angle?
Okay. I think it's more of their, research and development as well. So not just more of the R&D for their products and stuff, but it could also be for them to really look into their running of their business, their operations, which means hiring more their local talents as well. And that's another point that I actually wanted to bring out as well, where I think in Malaysia, we are one of the can say that highest blue-collar and white-collar graduates. We have millions every single year. Mm. And it's still a shame that because of a lot of these talented workers, they would try to find work in outside of Malaysia simply because of they think that the local economy couldn't really fulfill their needs. I think inflation is increasing, prices and goods are all increasing, and the local SMEs, local micro SMEs, still are facing challenges in developing those talents within their business. So I think one of the ways that, for me, I really personally feel that if the government actually put a lot more incentive for local businesses to hire local talents, as well as some form of like a training and R&D training for these employees and training trainers, I think it would be very, very helpful, simply because that they can have a lot more talent to develop and nurture within the Malaysia itself.
Okay, yeah, so which brings about the whole conversation of training grants at length. And we're not just talking about the hard skill, say for instance, coding or engineering, but soft skills as well, including public speaking, communications, team building. And this would directly tie up with the earlier suggestion that we were talking about. Maybe it will help us in terms of marketing our local products out, helping our cottage industry up.
Agree.
Do you feel that there's a synergy between this?
Oh, definitely. I think... one thing for sure is that we need to look at things as a whole rather than just looking into it like a very micro one by one. When we talk about the SME growth, right, they are still contributing to the highest GDP in Malaysia.
No doubt.
Yeah, and it's when government really want to create this form of like a budget, we need to look into it all the way from nurturing the talents to developing the right product, all the way to the market expansion and stuff. And rather than just looking into one aspect of it, I would highly recommend, or at least my wish list is for government to create, looking into the SMEs based on maybe perhaps the annual turnover, whereby based on, if let's say the SMEs, their sales revenue is not more than 1 million a year, perhaps they can get more like allocation for those three spectrum, whereas those businesses who are already, they have an annual turnover of more, maybe 10 million or 20 million, rather than the government actually helping them on their R&D, maybe they can go into the training side of things. So I guess it works both ways, and when one of the areas actually flourish, the other one will also flourish, no doubt as well.
Okay, but this also pushes the whole conversation of how R&D is going to be reinvigorated in centres of excellences, including universities and research houses. Do you feel that more money needs to be done there? Every time they announce the budget, it's always OPEX rather than say R&D or CAPEX.
CAPEX,
why do you feel that the urgency is there right now in terms of allocating it more for CAPEX and R&D?
Yeah, so you actually brought a very good point. So I think the main reason why they've always been focusing a lot on OPEX is simply because that there's already, there's a case study for business, for the government to look at those businesses whereby, because they've already done this, therefore I can help them in this, et cetera, those portion, right? But no one really want to look into CAPEX back then simply because number one, is very, very expensive. Number two, I think they were back then when there were no form of digitalization to track the grants and incentive given out to SMEs were a bit difficult. But I do understand that when I was reading through the pre-budget for 2023, government is going to create something like e-invoicing. So I think by using on this e-invoicing, number one, they can also track where the businesses or the SMEs are going to spend, which means there will be no leakages. And number two, they can also start seeing that because they've already invested in this CAPEX, the output for this OPEX and so forth will also improve tremendously. I think maybe if you look at Malaysia about 10 years ago, a decade ago, it's a bit difficult to do so. But then now I think we're already at a stage where we're one of the most growing, high growth in Southeast Asia country. And government really need to put a lot more incentive and research for both the businesses R&D as well as the university R&D as well. Because actually we have a lot of really great talents. We have great opportunity here. I just feel like personally a lot of the really high, the great talents here in Malaysia, they just constantly want to choose to work elsewhere simply because they don't see much opportunity here. And I think if government really to focus on this portion of the budget, I think that will actually bring back the talent here and reduce some form of like a brain drain.
I've argued that brain drain needs a lot of solutions, but this is the first time I'm hearing that R&D and CAPEX could be used as a tool to stem the brain drain. Yeah. Would you like to flesh out more details into why you think this is the case?
Okay, so we work with a lot of the businesses like brand owners or those guys who actually produce the goods. When you try to, I think Malaysia have one of the best food science education.
I have no idea.
I actually
wouldn't have.
Yeah, one of the best food science. And in fact, if you look at the stats, right, I think 2019, than 70,000 of food science students were hired from international non-Malaysian companies. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the main reason why is because that food science is one of the ways for them to really improve the products. The Malaysians are generally quite creative as well. Mm-hmm. We'll come up with really a lot of new and interesting products mm-hmm. for consumers to use. And I think looking back to the CAPEX, if government actually help the businesses and also the universities to do that kind of research, there's a lot more challenges, things that actually can move the needle. Therefore, I think brain drain is not those talents who think. That is a pretty interesting challenge for them to solve. They'll come back because this is a way that for them to not only help to build a nation, but also something for them to build on their careers upon. So I think I know it's a bit odd as well, but I've spoken.
No, it's not odd. Yeah, trust me, we're doing everything except with the kitchen sink in terms of trying to solve the brain drain. But yes, okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with Aizat of Droppy. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Aizat Rahim, the Managing Director of Droppy, talking about Budget 2023. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about, say, Phoenix Capital as well, because there's a lot more that needs to be done in terms of raising funds, managing funds, trying to see where capital can be used more effectively. So talk to us through that particular idea.
Okay, so I think another wish list I also wanted to talk about is nothing to do with the SME. It's more for the government to really look into the local setups. I think about 2 years ago, the government actually made the announcement saying that they want to develop at least 5 unicorns. And I think up to today, I think they are currently about 3 unicorns. So unicorn means it's a billion-dollar valuation company, right? There are currently 3 in Malaysia. So my one of the wish lists is that in order for any startups or any technology companies to grow as big as unicorn, they definitely need a lot more tech, like you mentioned earlier, the hard skills like coding and programmers. I think Malaysia is still lacking of that, where a lot of the engineers and coders actually comes from non-Malaysia. I mean, in fact, for us also, we do hire quite a fair bit of engineers in Indonesia. And I think that's one of the ways that I think government should really focus a lot more, whereby create some form of like incentive for all these local startups to hire not just Malaysian engineers, but also bring them to come to Malaysia instead. Why so, right? So the moment any local startups, right, when they hire all these foreign engineers or the coders and stuff, they will also somehow create more juniors themselves. They will bring whatever they've learned abroad here in Malaysia. And I think that will create some form of like education where for all the programmers and engineers to also learn, not just based on the Malaysian education, but also they get to learn outside. So I think...
You're talking about knowledge transfer and knowledge hybrid between junior, senior, experience outside, internal. Mm. And therefore, it's a little bit more flourishing in terms of the dissemination of the knowledge cycle.
Yeah.
It's also important for us to note on in the terms of providing the kinds of incentives for this to happen. Specifically speaking, what would be some of the items that you're looking at in the budget to facilitate this particular wish list of yours?
Okay, so I think besides the software, the bringing on board foreign talent here in Malaysia, I think it's more of the local venture capital as well. So these are the investors that will help this local startups company to actually grow, not just within Malaysia, but also within South Asia and globally, right? I think we're still lacking of debt development fund. Most of the time, a lot of the entrepreneurs I spoke to, they will find it very difficult for them to actually fundraise locally in Malaysia. So number one, they're just lacking of investors and also not much funds actually being there. Number two, it's also a bit difficult for them to talk to the government agencies, right? Simply because there are many government agencies that are trying to help the local startups, but it's just too many of those. And I think one wish list is to consolidate all of those and make it easier for them to actually find out how these agencies can help these local startups. We've gone, like Droppy itself, we've gone through multiple rounds of investment, but I have to also admit that we also were quite lucky that when we were looking around for government funds, government grants, when at early stage, we stumbled upon Cradle and Traju. So those are two of the government agencies that actually provided fund during our early stage. And because of that development fund, we actually managed to raise from external investors as well. So at that point of time, I think the government can actually focus a lot more in developing more local investors, which means just more budget to invest in all these startups. And number two, to also understand that if local startups are required to also expand, because Malaysian market is not as big.
Nope, it's small.
Yeah, and if they also understood that concept, right, you should also allow these local startups to have some form of like a tax break when they also sell and they export their goods outside as well. So that's one thing that I think government is still not looking at. It will definitely help a lot of the entrepreneurs, local startups to flourish a lot more. I think that's one of the two key things that I like to...
All right. Let's talk about you as a business owner. Yep. You want to grow your business. At the same time, you want the government to give you some sort of incentive so that you can grow. Perhaps even include some items that would reduce your tax liabilities as well. Yeah. What would be some of the ideas that you can share with us, imploring upon the government that a company like yours, a bit technologically driven, B2B related, pandemic focused, of course, and of course pre-pandemic and post-pandemic as well. What would be the two things or three things you want as a business owner that you can reach out to right now, to Muzaffar, who's watching us right now, and seeing what he can pan down quickly before the budget presentation on 7th of October?
Okay, so we work with a lot of businesses, all the way from the local micro SME to the really large enterprise like Petronas and so forth. One of the key things that I would really like to the government to actually help is to really look into the business financing, not grants. Not funding for them to really grow, but it's more for them to really alleviate their cash flow, right? When I said business financing, this it could be in multiple ways. It could be invoice factoring, it could be SME financing, where the businesses can actually use it to purchase inventories, to purchase machineries, to even promote their products, many others as well. And I think especially within the GLCs itself, let's say Petronas have like thousands of vendors that are actually servicing them. And when we talk to all these vendors as well, sometimes it's just a bit difficult for them to get financing to service Petronas. And I do understand that government will initially try to really look into that. And I do hope that government will actually look into that, and at least this within the next budget, to help these businesses to get financing so that they can service these GLCs. Business financing is a unique way for business owner to really grow their business, because they still retain their equities. And at the same time, they also create economic impact, because they get to hire more, they get more sales, they can elevate their cash flow. Things will just be a lot more easier for the business owner. So I think that's one of the key things that I hope government can really look at. So it's business financing. Second point, I think I've already highlighted earlier, definitely on the talent portion, especially on the hard skills. we're still huge lacking of to find all these software programmers, especially for the technology companies like ourselves. If Malaysian can also, the government can actually work with all the local universities as well as foreign universities here in Malaysia to develop, I don't know, could be like an incubator or even like an accelerator to help all these students to understand the need of a business, I think that'll be pretty interesting. Back when I was in Australia, I noticed that the university actually hired a lot of business owners to become one of their tutor. And the main reason why is because that this tutor will generally not just teach the students the hard skill, but also to teach the students how to actually utilize those programming skills onto a business. And I think that's something, it's a very practical way. And I think that's something that Malaysia is still lacking of, if the government can really look into that. I don't know, could create some form of programs to help both businesses and university students as well. I think that'll be pretty amazing.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing your ideas. Yeah. That was Azad Rahim, the Managing Director of Droppy. We're continuing our coverage on Budget 2023. Remember to watch our show live during Budget Day on 7th of October, where I will be joining my colleagues Najib Arof, Haris Ashraf Hasnan, and a lot of other folks here in Estrawani, presenting to you some of the live coverages following the budget presentation as well. I'll be also doing a live coverage on the eve of 7th of October on my show Notepad, so do keep an eye out on that one as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.